Adam, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Jack. Yourself?
I couldn't be better, honest to God. I couldn't be, well, maybe I could be better, but not materially better. I'm too wonderful.
That's good.
No, I feel good. It's been a nice day, been a good day. Tomorrow's going to be a good day, so life is good. No complaints.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
We got some good clients and we got some interesting people. So that makes for a good day.
Lots of interesting things going on. And one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is our topic here, Jack, is one of our favorite topics, which is DISC.
DISC, is that what runs down your back?
Uh-huh, that does, but that's not what we're going to talk about. But yeah, that's one use of the word.
Different DISC.
Different kind of DISC, right? So we're going to talk about how do you use DISC to make sense of the world around you. How do you do that? And what we're talking about when we talk about DISC, folks, if you're new to the show, welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter. That's Jack Mancini here over there. And one of the things we do in our coaching business, our day-to-day coaching business with Maxim Value Partners, is we help people understand themselves and their behavior styles, and not only themselves, but also those around them. And we do that utilizing a tool called Extended DISC. And we've been using this, Jack, for almost 20 years now.
Wow, has it been that long? Holy crap.
It has. And it's
we've learned a great deal, haven't we, from that? Tremendous, tremendous insight, not only for ourselves to self-evaluate, but the people around us that we deal with.
Well,
if we go
way back, Jack, almost 20 years ago, when we first really became aware of this in a big way and how we were thinking about it. And just wanted to go back there for a minute, because at that time, we had an experience that I think most people can relate to. And it's one of those times when your mom tells you that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And so we had one of those moments, Jack, about 20 years ago, but what happened was what was told to us, in fact, is true, right? Almost sounded too good to be true, but we're here to tell you almost 20 years later that it actually is true. And so what we were told is when we first started using this DISC tool, and what DISC helps understand is helps us understand observed behavior. So what is it going to look like and feel like and sound like when somebody's interacting with you, okay? And we had been through different things over our careers. We'd been through some different personality assessments and things like that. And I remember you talking about your old corporate days, Jack, and talking about, you remember all the HR folks coming in with this mumbo jumbo and this stuff is a waste of time and this and that. And it was never going to be good. It was never going to really work, right?
Never sold, right, right. Right.
And so we were very skeptical. And then they told us something that here's the unbelievable part with what they told us, Jack. They said, we have these 24 questions. And sometimes frustrating, but it takes 10 minutes to answer the questions. And these questions have been tested worldwide and have been shown to be accurate 90% of the time for 93% of the population. And again, our reaction was, come on, right? Again, that sounds too good to be true.
Numbers.
Right.
That's
sounds
right.
Too good to be true. So here we are, fast forward almost 20 years later, Jack, having done thousands of these things now. And those 90% plus numbers are actually pretty good, might be a little bit light in terms of our experience with this, in terms of when somebody goes through and answers those questions and they get a report back that really nails them spot on for the most part in terms of how they like to communicate, what's a motivator for them, what demotivates them, what are their natural communication styles, how do they like to do things, how do they like to be part of a team, all these kind of things that I think many of us who are self-aware kind of know about ourselves, Jack, but you get it back in a report and it's in black and white and all of a sudden it takes on a life of its own and you say, wait a minute. I mean, you know that too? I mean, you figured that out about me too? Like, I thought I was hiding that part of it pretty well, right? And we realized that that's not the case at all. And so one of the first things we do with all of our new clients coming on board is we have them go through DISC. It's that powerful that during our first meeting with a new client, we'll take them through their DISC report because it's going to help us understand them, help them understand themselves, and it starts to get that light bulb going off, Jack, to where they start to see the world around them in a whole different way in terms of looking at
themselves. It's an impressive way to start a relationship. So we do that with the new clients because that's just a good thing to do. And we not only can convey them and how they are perceived, but we can better affect our coaching. By helping these people basically see the world in the way Dis provides for you to see the world. It's just excellent. I don't know a better word to use other than an excellent program. It helps on so many fronts. People's relationships get stronger when they use it. They discover things about themselves that can be modified and make them more effective, not only with their friends and family, but certainly any business associates. Great program. Excellent.
And you're probably one of the biggest converts I've met at this, Jack. So again, I'm going back to when you first heard about it, and you were very negative given your experience, from a few decades before that in terms of corporate America, before the science and technology continued to improve and to be more accurate and be more helpful, which is really from our standpoint. Jack, you and I are not psychiatrists or psychologists, right? And our clients don't necessarily have time for that kind of stuff when they're running their companies. But what you like to have is you like to have a very user-friendly tool that you can start to use and start to make sense of the world. And so we have a very simple grid, and we'll include that as part of the notes tonight. We'll include a little download with that, which kind of shows a nice little grid. Let's talk about what this looks like, Jack. We have if you can picture four quadrants. Yeah, you picture that nice square with divided into four quadrants, and you look in that top right corner for the D part of DISC. Okay. D is those dominant, driving, demanding types are in the top right quadrant. The I's are the influencer folks. Those are folks down in the bottom right corner. The S's are in the bottom left corner. Those are the steady, stable folks. And then the top left is the C, which is often referred to as conscientious or compliant style folks. And so those folks are up there and will fit there. Now, Jack, you and I don't necessarily find those words to be terribly helpful, but we try to keep it real simple. And so if you can picture that grid, right, you got the D and the I on the right side and the S and the C on the left side. And if we just divide it in halves, right versus left, top versus bottom, those folks on the right side, those outgoing D's and I's, or they tend to be more outgoing versus the more reserved S's and C's. And so one of the examples I always like to give with that, Jack, is something as simple as entering a room, okay, entering the room. And so if you have a D or I style person and they enter the room, they tend to arrive, right? They tend to have a certain presence about them where you notice them, In fact, many of the eyes will announce themselves. Just in case you didn't notice, folks, I'm here, right? Okay, get the attention towards me. It's how they tend to be. Whereas a C or S style person, they will often just sneak into the room. We also notice a few minutes later, it's like, hey, when'd you get here, Jack? Well, I got here about 5 minutes ago, but
They'll come with a friend. They won't enter the room without a friend. They got to know somebody in that room, or else they'll be a basket case. These become once you learn the method, very simple method to slot them into one of these four categories, you can now ease the tension that exists when strangers are meeting, because you're going to be educated in terms of how to do that. With a couple of simple grids. It's amazing. The program is, again, just amazing. I'll use the word again, excellent.
I like that. I like excellent, amazing, awesome. Yeah, those are words you don't use very often, Jack. So that speaks highly of it, right? So yeah, you have those C's that will sneak in there, right? And they'll sneak in and you say, hey, when'd you get here, right? Well, it was 5 minutes ago, but you guys were involved in a pretty significant conversation. I didn't want to interrupt you guys. I figured wait till you guys are finished before we start talking, right? And a C and S will do that no problem. Whereas a D and I, would you kid me? They come in and say, hey, what are you guys talking about, right? They would just interrupt. Or they may say, hey, did you hear about this? And totally change the topic of conversation to what they want to talk about. A very different way of just approaching. So something as simple as that to kind of figure it out. And it comes down to those outgoing D's and I's tend to be pretty easy to read. And if you can't read them, don't worry, because they're also very verbally expressive. So that they often will think out loud and talk things through. So you can figure those folks out. Versus those often quieter S's and C's who may talk in a quieter voice. And these are the folks you have to invite into the conversation, Jack, because they aren't going to say butt their way into the conversation. They're going to wait to be invited in, especially if they're in a room full of those kind of outgoing D's and I's. And so we usually find that part's usually the fastest, right, Jack? You can figure out, hey, that more the outgoing, easy to read D or I style on the right, or more that reserved S or C style on the left. We then try to divide from the top to the bottom. So again, remember the top half of the grid includes C's and D styles, and those folks are more task driven. And then the bottom part of the grid is the S's and the I's, who are more people oriented. And so you think about energy from that standpoint, Jack, in terms of what gives people energy. And is it the tasks? Is it getting stuff done? Is it checking off your to-do list? Is it moving things along? Is it meeting goals and deadlines? If that's the case, you're probably more C or D. If it's just the work in and of itself is a very big motivator for you.
Yeah, getting things accomplished, getting the tracks laid where you can, you know, start to anticipate success on a project of sorts. That's very invigorated. Closing up that last 20% is a pain in the butt, depending on what you might be. But basically, you got confidence that you're going to get there. So many people in the quadrants will veer off into the weeds when they're close to getting a touchdown. And, you know, it's that. It's seeing the task completed, at least be on the track. Come back 2 days later and hear the organization is way off track. Well, what happened? Probably an S.
Probably an S. Or not,
took over, yeah.
Got the squirrels, right? Oh, there's a squirrel. Easy distracted.
That's right. You walk into the room and everyone's talking about other stuff, and they wait a minute. Somebody's got to bring this back to point center here. So
yeah, you're probably a C or D style if you understand like putting together your to-do lists and just the satisfaction of being able to check things off or cross things off, right? And you get satisfaction just crossing off that to-do list, right? And that's probably a sign you're more that task-driven person, right? Now, those people, folks, those S's and I's, Jack, they like to get stuff done too. It's just a matter of how they go about doing it. And those three letters, Jack, those H-O-W, the how, that's a big part for us, as we talk about all the time, in terms of helping people get unstuck from the state of how, Jack. But the how part's important with DISC too, because it's about how people go about doing things. And so those people, folks, those S's and I's, they like to get stuff done too, but they like to do it as part of a team if they can, right? They'll talk that way. They'll talk about partnering up or doing it together or teaming up on things. And so they like to accomplish those goals and those tasks and get those things done together. And so that tends to be a big motivator for them. And a big motivator for them is not just the work in and of itself, but it's also being acknowledged and recognized, right? So these are the folks that really appreciate those attaboys and the pats in the back and the sincere thank yous. Everybody appreciates, you know, sincere thank yous, Jack, but these folks like to get it more often. And maybe it's every day, maybe it's a couple times a week. But these are the folks that if you want to get their batteries recharged, it can't just be celebrating the goals and achieving deadlines and doing great work. You want to let them know, hey, I really appreciate what you're doing as part of the team too. And it could be something very simple, Jack. You know, if I'm sure we've all been involved with groups where you feel like you're spinning your wheels for days or weeks or months, right? And all of a sudden somebody speaks up who hadn't spoken up in a little while and it just opens the floodgates up. And all of a sudden, okay, that's what we need. That was the idea to kind of keep us moving forward, right? So, hey, picture that being somebody who's more of the SRI. Say, hey, gee, thanks for speaking up and helping us do that. And again, they get very motivated by that stuff. And so and you picture those C's and D's going, well, wait a minute, just be happy that they have a job, Jack, right? It's one of those kind of things. Like, why do they always need to be, you know, told what a great job they're doing or always be patted on the back? And they don't understand what's going on. And so that's where this thing starts to kind of break down. That's where the frustration levels get tremendously high, Jack, is when we're dealing with the folks who are the opposing styles of us, right? So if we're more that outgoing D or I, you know, very active, very easy to read D or I, and we're dealing with that very quiet C, S style person who's not saying anything, who's very difficult to read with their poker face, Jack, all of a sudden we're getting very frustrated because what's wrong with that guy, right? Seems like kind of a jerk, you know, or is he mad at me? It's like, no, he's just being quiet. He's just being his quiet self, right?
He's just being a C, right?
You know, why don't you invite him in? You know, we always pick on C's that way. So look, if you see a C excited or a C upset, looks pretty much the same, Jack, right? They just kind of look at you.
Right. Give him a poke. Give Charlie a poke over there. Make sure he's still awake and with us. Yeah,
that's right. So it can create tremendous frustrations, right? Again, so it's dealing with that. And so if you think about it, and get a sense, if you've never been through DISC before, okay, just think about it again. Are you more easy, you know, easy to read, outgoing type person, or are you a little harder to read, a little quieter, right? Okay. If you're more outgoing, you're more that D or I style. If you're more reserved, okay, more CS. Are you more task or more people driven? Again, we have all these things. It's a matter of which ones are most prominent, but which ones are most prominent for you. So again, are you more task driven? You like to get those tasks done, check off that to-do list? Are you more that, hey, let's do it together. Let's partner up, let's team up together on things, you know? So if you look at those different ways and figure out where you are, what's amazing though, Jack, is, you know, one of the things you said early on was that you can feel the S's, right?
Isn't that something? You can. Oh, I can because I'm a D.
Right.
But, and vice versa. But so many people don't realize that.
So try to describe what you mean. When you say feel them, Jack, what does that mean when you say you can feel it?
You feel it in your gut. You feel it in your overall brain. I don't know. You walk in, like sometimes you walk into an environment and you don't feel safe. Why?
Okay.
Why don't you feel safe?
Right.
Well, it's a hostility. You know, you got things going around you that just are not natural to you. So an S, where I being a D is concerned, their feelings are not in compatible sync with me. So I can feel an S by their actions and by their demeanor. And typically, if you don't get on board with them, they're vindictive, and they can be lifelong vindictiveness. And just watch out. And I say that with the fact that learning about D years ago, or learning about DISC years ago, has helped me tremendously by not entering into these hostile zones and doing what a D might do, and all of a sudden driving everyone deeper and putting the whole room against me. In fact, I remember once you set me up. I'll never forget that. You set me up with a whole group of S's.
Wait a minute.
And I tried to be quiet. I learned how to be quiet since that time in a different way. But they kept poking. I remember that one. It was in a library. Remember that?
No, it was in the bookstore. Yeah, it was at
it was a
Joseph Beth bookseller. I know exactly what you're talking about, Jack. Yeah. Now, to be fair, I think I'm pretty sure I gave you a heads up about it. I said, hey, here's what you're stepping into. Maybe I didn't do a good enough job of pre-qualifying it for you. But, yeah, I gave you a little sense. But, yeah, you knew right away. And then after half an hour, they made the mistake of saying, hey, Jack, you've been kind of quiet. Tell us what you think, right?
And I tried to shake it off and say, no, that's okay, you know. But the head of the group wouldn't take no for an answer, which is typical of S's, right? Whenever they see a wounded ego somewhere, somebody who's a little shy, they're going to work to bring them into the fold. But it was wrong. But yes. So you're put into situation. So I, through the years now, being aware of that, I can feel when I'm in the presence of an S. So I have to modify my behavior tremendously, like be quiet, you know?
bite your tongue?
Is that why
start seeing bloody seeping out of the corner of your mouth? What's going on? Oh, Jack's dealing with an S as he's biting his tongue instead of telling him how he really feels about stuff, right? So
that's right. And S's will feel strange with me. I know they will.
Sure.
And they'll start to be quiet also.
Yeah. They'll be intimidated. So the feel thing you did a good job explaining that, Jack. I want people to be aware of that, because we all get the feels, folks. We all get the feels. So for D's like Jack, he gets the feel with an S, okay? With me being a CS style, I get that feel with the I's and D's, okay? And it's one of those things, it's important for us to be in touch with our guts, because what happens is, yeah, that feel we're getting, you want to repel, right? Because it's like those two magnets coming together where okay, when your styles are opposite like that, you know, the way you communicate and talk and approach me is polar opposite to how I would naturally do it. So again, I feel like I want to just get away from you. And so what's beautiful about DISC is it helps us start to recognize, okay, wait a minute, my gut's barking at me here a little bit. Okay, I feel like, hold on. Instead of me repelling and getting out of here, let me dig in my heels a little bit. Let me, you know, figure out what's kind of going on. Because let me come back to the how, Jack. If I can ignore for a minute how you're approaching me and try to understand what you're trying to say to me. And again, and that I think is very hard for people to do these days, especially because we live in this 30-second soundbite society. That if I don't like how you're communicating to me, Jack, I'm just going to click you right off. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, that's just, it's, I think many of us are doing ourselves and those around us a tremendous disservice, Jack, because we are just, you know, somebody who's different than me, I'm clicking them off instead of realizing, well, okay, well, let me listen to what you're saying. And maybe what you're saying doesn't make sense either. Plus, I don't like how you're saying it. That's fine. But often the case I have found, Jack, that there are usually some good messages for me. I just need to be open to them and realize who's saying it to me. Like, you know, a very simple one. You know, come back to my CS style, where I'm very reserved. I can be very hard to read. I can be very off-putting or intimidating, given my style and facial expressions, right? And so I had a friend years ago that talked to me about this and said, you know, you typically seem like you're in a good mood or a pretty happy guy. And I said, yeah. He said, how about letting your face know that sometime, right? I said, what do you mean, right? He goes, why don't you smile more often, right? And, you know, this is a D telling it to me in D terms. And so I appreciated that because I appreciate it. Just tell me how it is, right? You know, don't sugarcoat. Just tell me the message. Just, you know, just deliver it. Let me, you know, take it in. And so as silly as that sounds, Jack, I've spent the last 15 years trying to smile more.
And oh, I know you have. I know. I see the improvements when you when you make those conscious changes and you work hard to adapt them and make them part of you. Well, it's often awkward at the early stages. Well, like, where did that one come from? Right. Who is this guy?
Well, let me touch on how that works. So, yeah, so what I'm doing is I'm smiling more when I feel like when I'm feeling good. So it's not like I'm smiling to smile. And I'll make the example if the audience can think back to the 2016 U.S. presidential elections, and we had Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. And at some point during their debates over the course of a few weeks, somebody in Hillary's camp told her to smile more because she can be very intimidating and very off-putting. And I remember when it happened, because all of a sudden you see this crazy smile, like, you know, eyes wide open, like it was like you were scared. And it was just like it was her trying to be very going too far, right? And not, you know, she wasn't feeling happy. She was just trying to look like she was happy. It just came off as so awkward and so forced. And so that's kind of an extreme
example. And her laugh was also forced. Remember there were sound bites on that. She sounded like the witch, wicked
the cackle,
witch.
Of yes.
The, yeah. Just she couldn't make it comfortable, and you could just see the tension created by it. Everybody, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And so again, we aren't saying that you need to kind of change that level. And again, I say it's an extreme, Jack. Here we are talking about, you know, people running for the president of the United States, which is about as high profile, high pressure situation as you can probably find in the world, right? So it's hard to really start to modify there. But if we put, you know, the framework of DISC around that, you know, both Hillary as well as Trump are both D's, right? And so people have very strong feelings about D's. They love them or hate them, typically. You know, it's rare that somebody's lukewarm on a D, Jack, right? Because
they're
usually very verbally expressive, and they'll tell you how they feel about stuff, and people either like that or don't like that, or at some point maybe the D has told something that they don't like to hear, and they've kind of, your point, maybe it's an S, Jack, and they've clicked them off now. They're on a snit that they're going to hold on to forever, right? So you have to be aware of those things. But I've been amazed for the last 4 years, Jack, that the media still hasn't figured out that Trump's a D.
It seems like it, doesn't it? No, the way they aren't strategically bright when approaching him and doing whatever it is they're trying to do. I'm not sure. Here they say they're trying to destroy him. What does that mean? But they certainly aren't effective with him. And yeah, you know, he's keeping them at bay, and he's basically winning because they're on his turf, and he's pulling them on his turf. He's always setting the agenda. That's what they haven't figured out how to do.
Right. So
and his agenda can be trivial, not so-called, in quotes, presidential. And that's okay. He gets his way. He sets the agenda. Imagine him talking fancy pomp and circumstance and trying to be very regal and stuffy. And look how awkward and terrible that would be.
Right.
He would be 100% ineffective.
Well, we try to think about some of the basic characteristics of the D styles, Jack, right? And so one of the things that D's are known for, D's are known for expressing their opinion where it sounds like it's a fact. right? They state their opinion so strongly that, again, to somebody who doesn't know any better, it's like, well, that guy must know what he's talking about. Or that gal knows what she's talking about because they've stated it so strongly. And so, you know, Trump says everything like it's a fact. Now, everything's not a fact, and many things are just his opinions, right? But it comes off as being a fact. And how many times in the last, week or month, let alone the last 4 years, and they try to fact check something? Look, people realize that's how he is. They realize that he's going to take credit for everything and blame other people for other stuff, or he's going to take things and everything's going to be the greatest, Jack, or the best, or whatever it might be. That's part of how the D is in terms of promoting stuff. And just, yeah, here's how things are, right? We're going to win, right? He said that famous phrase when he was running for president, right? You're going to get so tired of winning.
You're going to get sick of winning.
You're sick of winning, right? That is a D over D over D comment, Jack, because D's like to win. And they like to battle.
Whenever he feels himself drifting into negative territory, he'll instantly change that. Because there's no doubt, there's no upside to being negative like that, especially in that position. And he tends to overdo it, but that's okay. Overdoing the glory side, the upside, he overdoes that, but that's okay. If he's going to err one way or another, he'd rather err on being too optimistic rather than be pessimistic.
Right.
And that's what he does. He does it well. So how can you fact check that? So much of it is opinion anyway.
That's right. And so let's come back up to the bigger picture for a second. So just so people know, from a U.S. population standpoint, the folks who have a D as a primary style are by far the minority. It's only 14% and shrinking, right? So you have a very small fraction of the country, Jack, being 14% that are Ds that naturally understand what we're saying, whether they use the disprompts or not, but they will they'll relate to Trump in terms of how he communicates. And okay, so they'll hear what he's saying. And so they'll say, okay, either I like what he's saying or I don't. They aren't going to be worried about how he's doing because they understand him, right? But you got the other 86% that aren't Ds and that are going to have that natural feeling towards him. And what you see in the press is, again, it's all attacking his style for the most part, right? In terms of
how
he's treating people. Everything else. I said, okay, if folks ignore that stuff, let's look at what he's doing. And by no means, is he a perfect guy doing something? No, he makes mistakes like everybody else. But, it's almost like he's to the one extreme, and the media and the folks are after him going to the other extreme, right? But, so we can sit here, Jack, and we have fun with this. We have fun. We joke about it. We laugh about it because we're taking that framework of DISC and putting it around that to say, okay, what's going on here? Help us understand what's going on. Why are people doing this or that? Or why are they getting upset here? Why is, your point, why is he changing topics here or picking the fight here? Okay, we understand what's going to energize those folks versus, take energy. So, again, looking at the world around us, and again, it's fun to pick on public figures. You can make some of these points, Jack. But
sure.
Come back to our lives, right? Come back to your point, Jack, in terms of our business life and dealing with people in our business and our personal lives, okay? It's a lot of funny, and you can see stuff. It's, again, there aren't good styles or bad styles or a better style or worse style. Again, we are who we are. It's a matter of just, again, understanding and appreciating those things and starting to figure out, okay, let's embrace who I am, because we are who we are. That's part of what we didn't mention at the beginning, Jack.
Accept that, even though you may not like yourself.
Right. it starts to take shape. By the time you're in your kind of late teens, early 20s, your natural behavior style kind of is what it is. And so you have to work with that and start to realize that, and I think all of us know that if we're just being ourselves, whether it be in our professional or personal lives, Jack, we are not going to have very much success, right? Because most of the rest of the world is not like us. So we're constantly having to modify or adjust ourselves. And so what we love about DISC is it gives us a very simple framework to, one, understand ourselves, two, to now figure out where somebody else is to put them on that grid. So that can all happen in a matter of 30 seconds or a minute, Jack. And then it becomes, okay, well, now what do I do about that?
That's right.
So when it comes to what we're talking about, Jack, in the small business world especially, but this is true, I think, worldwide, but in terms of who we're talking to here, in terms of dirty secrets of small business, as a small business person, you don't have the time to be, spending hours getting psychology degrees or doing this, that. You want something that you can work, you can figure out quickly what's going on, where are they, how do I pivot, how do I adjust to make sure things are going to go better, right? And to do it in real time. That's where DISC is just, when you start to embrace it and start to see it, Jack, it's amazing how you start to then modify and adjust. Your point, you'll go in, you'll feel the S, and immediately you'll be quiet. It doesn't
That's
take
right.
you half an it's, hour to figure it out. You figure it out in 30 seconds.
It helps. It helps your negotiation. We're always negotiating, always, either big or small. And basically, it gives you a tool to truly understand who your opponent is. And that makes you effective. So, you know, everything is negotiation just about, Adam. It just really comes down to the stakes. If the stakes are higher versus stakes are lower. If they're lower, it's easy to be accommodating. If the stakes are higher, it's harder to be accommodating. Yeah, you have to dig in and you have to use techniques that basically are going to be effective. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's impossible to answer that unless you have a sense of the different styles of people. And if you know those styles and you know what's effective against them, you can be tremendously effective yourself. And you can pick and choose people who you want to really be doing business with and have relationships with because you understand what's down the road if you even get out of the starting blocks. So it's a, you know.
Yeah, you're right with negotiation. As I'm listening to Jack, what's interesting about it is you can take a totally different tact, right? So to your point, like somebody knows who you are naturally and they expect you to be a certain way, right? So maybe they think you're kind of the soft S and you're going to be this and all of a sudden. And all of a sudden you take on more D tactics for a few minutes and you totally throw them off with an approach that they weren't expecting, right? So to your point, you can all of a sudden be something that you aren't. You don't need to be something you aren't for a day. It might just be for a minute or two. When you're negotiating right. This point, and it's all of a sudden it's like, whoa, and that's all you needed to do to be able to shift things. And you do it in a way, again, that's not normal, not natural for you, but you learn to start to modify and make a little tweak to yourself, right? And so it can be a lot of different things, Jack. It's people often will talk themselves out of, like you mentioned, you know, going in to deal with the D. People often will get intimidated by that. And I think Ds appreciate that. They understand that they can be a little bit intimidating and people don't want to talk to them. So they will use that to their advantage, right? And so it's almost like the negotiation's won before it even starts sometimes, right?
Sometimes, that's right.
But if they know they're going to be dealing with another D, they're going to prepare for it a little differently. They're going to prepare for the battle, know that this, you know, here's what that person will do, this and that. So again, it can be very helpful to either, you know, whether you're negotiating like yourself or you can be a little different and tweak yourself. It's fun to try to do those things where, you put on a little different hat, a little different approach, and you understand what you're going to be feeling, right? That's a big part of the negotiation, Jack. You have that biochemistry you're feeling in terms of what's going on in your guts and be ready for that stuff and understand why you're feeling that way in terms of, especially if you're going against your style, that doesn't mean you're wrong in the negotiation. It just means that, hey, your natural style is telling you, hey, you're doing something different. It's okay. Again, not good or bad. Just it's a warning sign for you.
That's right. A warning sign is a good couple of words for it. Yeah. It's, you know, really that's what it comes down to, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this is, like I said, this is a wonderful tool that we use all the time. And Jack, there has not been a day that's gone by in the last, you know, 17 years that we haven't used this thing, either personally or professionally, just, again, to make sense of the world around us. And it becomes tremendously empowering. And it takes, at least for me personally, Jack, what used to be an 8 or 9 or, you know, on the frustration level and brings it down to like a 1 or a 2. Because I understand what's going on. I understand if I've got different people in the room, who's going, you know, why people are getting along or aren't getting along, or why it might be tense, or what's happening, or to be able to ignore how people are saying things and really focus on what they're saying, what they're trying to communicate. And so it becomes a lot of fun, really, where all of a sudden, you know, I find myself smiling a lot more because I feel like I have a little secret. Like I kind of know what's going on. So what do you smile about? Oh, nothing, right? Just kind of,
You're the smartest guy in the room. That's what happens. You can see everybody and where they are in the grid, and you can hear the laughs, walk by, get a little drifts of the conversation, enter a little group. I'm speaking of a party type atmosphere, whatever those are anymore. But you understand what's going on. You see people out of character, people who are stressed, who are, you know, having a difficult time just trying to function in a group because they can't stop thinking about themselves, you know, and how they're coming across. Well, with DISC, we know who to avoid, we know who to go up to. When we go up to somebody, we know in a minute, well, actually in about 15 seconds, what we have here. And do you move on, or do you try to wrestle with these people, or do you try to bring them out of their shell? You can do any of those things.
That's right.
You're in total control. which is nice.
Well, what's really nice too, Jack, is when you have a partnership like you and I do, where our styles are different, right? You have the DC style, I got the CS style. So we can be very different. So if we're dealing with an S, I can very easily take the lead and be S style naturally and be more comfortable with that person and they'll click. And if we're dealing with a D, yeah, I'll just referee and let you guys kind of battle it out a bit, let you guys have some fun, and then I'll jump in as needed. And it's funny, what was funny too is I think this may be true for many folks. I think as we start to appreciate the folks who are different from us, we appreciate that they balance us off. And I think I told you this before, when I started looking back, at my best friends, even starting with grade school through high school and college and through my work life, all my closest friends and associates have typically been folks who are more D styles, Jack, where they, and I look back on it now, I laugh about it, where somehow I sensed that I needed that was, that was something that wasn't as strong for me. So, you find people have the same values as you. Again, the style is just one thing. It doesn't speak to people's values and how they are as people. Like, that just speaks to their style. But right, as I was going right through to find people that have the same values that I do, the ones that I would gravitate the most to, become the closest to, are the ones who are different from me. And so often the folks, again, who quite a bit of the D's, and then I married an I, And so, she's got some IS, and so we do okay on the S side. But, when she's high I, I'm high C, we had some troubles back in the day, but now we understand each other better. But it's I think many of us are that way. If we look back at some of those deepest relationships that we've had over the years, chances are it's probably somebody who's more opposite of you. You've sensed that, hey, this person, helps fill me out in ways and has strengths to help pick me up, that it makes a good partnership for us. And we see that a lot in business too, Jack, where you've got the partners that have taken on different roles of different styles. And as much as they might annoy each other at times, if we start to use distance, they start to understand each other better, start to appreciate those things more, right? Or they kind of now, where they might have got upset about something before, they can now joke about it because they say, hey, quit being such an S, or quit being such a D, right? And they'll use that to kind of take the tension off. And so it helps, it helps relationships tremendously. And so whether
very empowering it is to understand that. And the relationships that you want to count, you can make them better. You just can. Right. And we've proven it in our private lives many times. We've proven it in our business life many times.
Right.
And some people we don't want to associate with, that's okay. We've proven that too. So
So we wanted to share that with you guys today, because again, it's something that it helps us stay somewhat sane, Jack, in the crazy world around us, because it has not failed us, to your point. It always gives us very good insight to what's kind of going on, helps us have a lot of fun with what's kind of going on, and really enjoy what's kind of going on much more. So if you're having some trouble figuring out what's going on in the world around you, we'd encourage you to explore DISC a little bit. Like I said, we'll include a link to the grid that we were talking about earlier in the show to kind of give you a sense. It's a great grid. It's a grid that Jack and I have had burning our brains, like I said, folks, for almost the last two decades, and it's just helped us a ton. Not only as we hang out with each other and deal with each other, Jack, but also as we deal with the folks around us and be able to really enjoy and embrace those things. So that's what I wanted to cover. So hopefully you found this to be very useful.
Good. We'll have to do more of this, do more DISCing.
Absolutely.
Tell a few war stories about DISC.
Absolutely.
I think, Jack, people would like that, and how it just reinforce how it works, because it does. It really does. It's a great program.
Will do. So thanks for being part of tonight's show of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. If you missed any of the prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. Or better yet, you can go subscribe to it and get it delivered to your device. Whatever podcast player you use, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeart or anything else, you can get it there and subscribe, and it'll come right to your smart device. If you do that, leave a review. That would be great. If you have comments, thoughts, questions you want to share with us, you can do that by email at radio@maximumvp.com, or you can give us a call. We like talking on the phone too, Jack. That's 877-849-0670. So lots of ways to be in touch with us and to reach out. But thanks again for being on this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business, and we'll see you guys next week.
Very good.